Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David For on Monday the 19th of August, and I'm recording at 9:57 p.m. in that Greenwich Mean Time. Now, the main point to emphasize here today is that we've got nervous stock markets. I'm sure you're aware of that. And it's also something that Fuller Money has been forecasting now for really several months, that we were entering a period where we were going to get a lot of choppy ranging activity. Now, the background for that was really the excellent recovery that we saw from the lows of November last year. And we saw really a big additional upward leg to the global bull market. And just about everything participated in that move, except for the some of the resources sectors here overall. And most of all, it pushed markets from the ASEAN leaders, such as Indonesia and the Philippines and Thailand at the time, and Malaysia, pushed them further upwards, and they had been seeing some of the strongest gains overall since their 2008 lows. But it also pushed Wall Street up and caused it to become really quite overbought overall. And now what we are seeing is a number of factors are making people nervous. It's partly slower GDP growth. It's partly the awareness that we are going to see a gradual wind down of the quantitative easing in the United States first, and then in some other countries over the next a couple of years. It's also reflecting just a general uncertainty because of the slower global GDP growth that we're actually seeing and the nervousness that's been created by the bond bear market. And weigh it all up, and what do we get? Well, the choppy, nervous environment that Fuller Money has really, as I say, forecast for several months. We think this period could last for a good lengthy medium-term period. That could be as much as 7 years, possibly. Although that's obviously a guess. We just need to see how it plays out. As investors have become nervous, and we've heard Hindenburg Oman comments, good colorful stuff, and I have an interesting email that I received, very informative email that I received on that subject, that will be posted shortly after this this audio. There's a lot to distract investors, and as I say, to make them really somewhat wary in here overall. We feel that the chances of getting any kind of big bear market are really quite low. We don't feel that that's, Owen and I don't feel that that's on the horizon for global stock markets. But we can certainly get some quite bearish corrective phases on a rotational basis for various different stock markets, and possibly some sort of uniform sell-offs in this choppy, volatile period overall. But equally, we'll also get some very good rallies, as we've seen over the last couple of months in the European stock markets, although that's now looking somewhat overextended. So again, certainly not a disaster, but a more risky, tricky market environment for equities than we have seen for certainly for a while, and that's in line with a maturing overall bull market. But we have to remember that the monetary indicators are still really quite bullish. The worst signs on those monetary indicators are the rising long-dated government bond yields, but they're doing that from a very low level overall. Okay, so what's happened specifically in here today? Well, not strong action. Japan was a little higher, up almost 0.8 0.8 of 1%. Hong Kong and Australia was a tiny bit lower here overall, but the gains were mainly really Japan and also China, despite the decline that we saw in the Hang Seng index. But there were some big hits that occurred in here. And India has really been under pressure, not least because of its currency weakness, and that's causing money to flow out of the country. We have really seen some unraveling in the last few weeks in some of these ASEAN indices, remember, which I said were so very, very strong. And in here today, for instance, the big hits. Thailand, which people are saying is slipping back into recession, it was down over 3.25%. But the big one, the Indonesian rupiah, was a lot weaker in here today, and that's led to a 5.58% decline on the day. In the European stock markets, now those have been relative strength standouts over the last couple of months. So there are a lot of rotational swings in these markets, but they're all overbought in the short term. You might remember I did a review on that. I think it was early last week, just pointing out the good relative performance that they had seen, and that was encouraging because there was talk of Germany leading these economies out of recession, and that is true, obviously, with the southern European economies very much lagging. But at least there is some optimism now being expressed in terms of their medium to longer term prospects. But these get back to the short term in here. These rallies are now losing upside momentum near former resistance areas. So we're going to see a bit of a corrective phase here in the European stock markets as well. And then Wall Street eroded again today. The S&P is down to 1646. I remember it was up over the 1700 level for a brief while earlier this month and last month. So also down today, Canada down over 1%, so a little bit of weakness coming back into the resources sector, and Mexico. Similarly, down one over 1.3%. Brazil managing just a small rally today. Now, among those concerns, I did mention those rising long-term interest rates. And if I put up the USGG 30-year index, let's take that one first. Those yields have been pushing up really quite strongly. It's going back to the beginning of May. For instance, in the beginning of May, the yield for the US 30-year long-dated government bond was just a fraction above 2.8%. Well, it's closed today at 3.89%, so it's up over 100 basis points. Overall, and the US 10-year, which you're probably more familiar with if you follow this market closely, that yield was just a fraction above the 1.6% level at the beginning of May, and it closed today at 2.88. That's another new recovery high. So you see a huge gain there of almost 130 basis points overall. Now, that is the market doing the monetary tightening that Ben Bernanke has not been talking about, because we know that Bernanke is pledged, and his followers are likely to follow this this lead, that they'll keep those short-term interest rates low until they either see a decent pickup in employment statistics or inflationary pressures pick up. But these long-dated yields are now in a bear market, and therefore most of the surprises are going to be to the upside, as I've been saying for a number of weeks now, as this move has begun to unfold. That doesn't hit everybody, but it will certainly hit people who have mortgages or are considering taking out mortgages. So again, adding to the general nervousness that we are seeing elsewhere, and of course the U.S. Move to the upside by those long-dated yields is affecting yields in a good many other Western countries, at least. Now, what we also see in terms of the U.S. dollar, well, it had a quiet day in here. And if I look at the US dollar index, it's hovering a little bit above the 81 level. That is an area of prior support. We've just been seeing it swinging between the 81 level or a little bit below and up to the 84 and a half level. But we had a clear downward dynamic last Thursday. And so it looks to me like we're going to range here a little bit further down at the lower side of this trading area. And among some of the firmer currencies that we have seen, sterling, not big moves here, but sterling's pushed back up to 156 and change against the US dollar. And the euro is, well, it's quiet in here today, but slightly firmer, 1.33 and change. More interesting things going on in the commodity markets. We have seen a little bit of profit taking today in these precious metals. They had been so strong, and I think there's a good chance that we have seen the lows. I think the more interesting question is, will we just get a steady recovery to the upside, or, as it tends to happen a little bit more often, is will we see the rally spill over once most of the short covering is out of the way, and then be followed by a partial retracement and a right-hand extension base formation development phase? I think that's the latter is slightly likely, that we will get that overall base extension phase. But I do feel that the big bearish period that we have seen for precious metals over the last couple of years, that is most likely over. And just to tell you what happened individually today, we had palladium down $12. That's back down to 751, but that's still a very steady performance here overall. Platinum struggling to hold these gains above 1500. It's eased back to 1510. Silver had been up as high as 2364 earlier today, but finished down slightly at 2318. And gold is pretty steady here, well, overall, but down $11. It's 1365 on that. And looking at some of the other commodities that will be of interest to you, the industrial metals, which had seen a good rally earlier this month, I think a lot of that was on short covering. But they were weak on Friday, and they're weak in here again today. But I think there's a reasonable chance that we'll see the lows hold for most of these industrial metals as they are an oversold sector. And they have attracted, the mining shares have attracted some demand here as nervous investors pull funds out of some of the more overbought markets, as they should. I think that certainly makes sense. And move into some of the more depressed markets, particularly where there are some decent yields. And we see that with some of the miners. But those miners, I'm talking about the big multinational miners such as BHP Billiton, but that company or Rio Tinto, they will need to see metal prices move up here over the next a few weeks and months. I think there's a reasonable chance that that will happen, but they will need to see that to be able to maintain their, let alone increase their dividend levels at present. And other action, we've got a bit of a drought in the western part of the United States. That had been avoided for most of this growing season, but we are seeing it now, and that has led to some short covering and demand in the staple grains, being U.S. wheat, corn, and soybeans. They're rallying from really quite depressed levels, and overall food prices are certainly lower than they've been for a number of years, but they are beginning to pick up here once again. And the Continuous Commodity Index has now rallied above its July high. I posted a chart of that late last week, saying that that important low has held. And I think that while sentiment is really quite bearish in terms of commodities, that low at 500 is the one that I'm actually referring to, and CCI is at 524 here today. So again, above its July high, and I think that there's a good chance that this 500 level is going to remain a floor space, and we're not going to get a collapse in commodity prices. We've had a long pullback, but I would expect them to range sideways to somewhat higher over the next few months as global GDP growth improves somewhat. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.